Welcome to the original Italian American podcast, Italian American Life with Frankie D at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guests today are husband and wife, Nicole and Gaetano from Bono Events International, which does destination weddings, luxury travel, culinary tours, and events. Nicole, Gaetano, welcome to the show and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
So glad to be here.
And you are currently in Italy, but you live in both New York, Italy. You're living the dream. It's
correct.
Yeah, that's just
one foot there, one foot here.
That is awesome. And we're gonna learn about that more because I'm curious about that. And your company. But first, you gotta tell us about both of your very interesting backgrounds, family backgrounds, Italian family backgrounds, and your upbringings.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we're both Italian American and in very different ways. So my parents are both from Italy, born and raised in Italy. My mother immigrated when she was in like middle school, so like 11, 12 years old, and Sicilian grandparents. My mother herself was born in Florence. They moved to New York. And she was raised in Brooklyn, so that very Italian American New York life. And
may I ask where in Sicily they're from?
So they're from a little town called Valle d'Olmo, which is in the provincia di Palermo. So it's up in the hills. It's like a little microscopic dot on the map. But when I meet Sicilians, they know where it is. So that's impressive. Okay. And then my dad is from Calabria, from a very little town called Soriano Calabro. And he moved to New York when he was in his 30s. So he is very, very, very Italian.
Is that like in the Catanzaro area or?
It's in the, it's Provincia di Vibo, Valencia. So,
okay. You speak Catanzaro though when your dad was born because they've added that.
Really? Recently. How do you know that?
I know history.
Okay.
That was very interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So yeah. And I grew up in New York and my parents were both, they're no longer together, but when I was growing up, they were adamant that my sister and I have a younger sister, that we speak Italian, that we be Italian, that we feel Italian, that we have a true cultural identity. They did not want us to be a stereotypical New York Italian American. They wanted us to be actually Italian. And when I was younger, I really didn't know who I was or what that meant. And now that I'm, an adult, I've made a whole business around that identity of who I am and what that means. So, when I'm here in Italy, I feel like an American. And when I'm in America, I feel like an Italian. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's something that I embrace. And I found a man in my life who understood what that felt like and what that meant. And he has a totally different background. So I'll let you speak now.
Yes. So very different background to Nicole. So my dad is from Milan and he came to the States for college. He went to USC in California and he met my mom, who actually was Cuban. My mom came over, as a girl after the revolution to States. She grew up in New York. So I was born in the U.S. and raised in Miami. But my dad, being the only one of his family who was not in Italy, you know, all our connections were with Italy. We would go to Italy for the summer, all 3 months, you know, my aunts, my grandmother, all my childhood friends. And at home in Miami, we, you know, unlike New York and maybe Chicago and Boston, there's no Italian American community in Miami. So we had to kind of make it ourselves. My daddy always said that our house was Casa Italia. We only spoke Italian at home. We only allowed to watch, you know, Rai International, that terribly boring news channel. All my books were in Italian. Whatever I wanted, he'd like, look, tell me what you want, and I'll order it in Italian. I watched all the Disney movies in Italian. So I know all the songs in Italian. I don't know the songs in English. So that was kind of like my experience growing up as like an Italian enclave, basically, with like a couple maybe Italian friends who would meet here and there, but Miami doesn't really have a community of Italian Americans. So when I met Nicole and started kind of seeing this, what, life was like in New York and Brooklyn and Staten Island, I was really fascinated by like the existing Italian American communities because I never had contact with them, other than maybe like, TV shows like Jersey Shore, but that's like a very negative perspective on that. And I love going to all the Italian American superettes and grocery stores and really studying how, like, where people came from in Italy influences how food is in America, what people, the traditions they have, the ideas they have, the culture. And I think it's really a cool thing to be able to embrace and see how it's different all over the world, really. Even in South America, in Australia and South Africa, wherever Italians go, they bring a bit of themselves in their own way.
I said you had a very interesting upbringing, and you both certainly do. And let me say this: kudos to both your parents for the way they raised you. I think that's excellent. And I got to know now, because I'm curious, how did you two meet? Because it doesn't sound like, I don't know how your paths would have crossed.
Well, we met online, as millennials do these days. And what's funny about that, though, tying it into this conversation, is that his like username was
Milanese.
Milanese something, and I wrote to him in Italian, like, "Are you really Italian or not?" Because coming from New York, there's all those Brooklyn, New York guys. Like, everybody in New York thinks they're Italian, but they're not. They don't even know where Florence is on a map, you know? And so he responded, and then I think we spoke online for maybe a week or so. But then immediately he was like, "Let's go to the one spot in New York that does a real aperitivo
Italian style
with
aperitivo.
spritz and all the things you drink and eat."
It's closed now, unfortunately.
It's closed now, but it was called Ballarò. That's where we had our first date.
Which is the
And
famous food market in Palermo.
yeah. And yeah, that's where it just all started to happen, I guess. And we were together in New York, and then he moved to London, and then I followed him to London, and then he was in Paris, so then I was back and forth between Paris and New York, because he's, before doing all this stuff, he's also an international lawyer. And then with COVID, we both retreated to Italy because we didn't want to go to New York. We wanted to be in family homes in Italy. It was a nicer place to be. And now we've kind of like rooted here between here and New York still. We have our apartment in Manhattan that we go to. And this is kind of our life now. And we started our business, and it's been our business is 5 years old, and it does all kinds of things. We do I started as a wedding planner. At first, it was just doing weddings because
Destination.
my background is in
Destination weddings
music.
in Italy. And can I ask, like, did you look to maybe start something so it would require you or make you be able to stay in Italy? You know what I'm saying? Like this, so you would could stay in Italy.
My background is in music. I went to music school. I went to Berklee College of Music, and I studied business. And I have always thought, like, what can I do with this language that I speak? You know, like, what can I do with it? And I've always wanted to come and work and be in Italy. I tried to work in the music industry in Milan, and that didn't work out. And like, so I think that's always just kind of been where my life has gravitated me towards. And then I found this world of destination weddings, where I was like, oh my God, all of those business skills I have and theatrical skills and the things I love about fashion and, you know, culinary, and it, and you know, there's a lot of money in it. There's like, it's a really nice, healthy, creative, and businessy place. And the second I started working in that world, I was hooked. I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And then, the travel planning happened secondary. So I wanted to become a travel agency to support my destination weddings. And now we're very much a company that functions as a travel agency and destination events. So we plan trips really all over the world, but Italy is inevitably what people come to us the most for. And then again, another evolution of that was so Tano. Tano, for anyone who knows him, knows that he is like the food guy. Like everybody in our lives is like, hey, I'm going here. Where should I eat? Like he's that friend that knows food inside and out. And he also has a ginormous passion for cheese. Cheese is like his thing. And in Italy, you can become certified as a cheese sommelier. What is it called in
Well,
Italian?
maybe I should take from here.
Yeah,
The
go
length,
ahead.
so as you know, Italy has the best food in the world. And I'm going to say it. People come at me if they want to, but it's true.
I'm glad you said it. I'm with you.
Because of all the regional sub varieties and all the differences you find throughout the whole peninsula, it's beautiful. And Italians, take their food very seriously. So within all these very familial, traditional recipes, there's also all sorts of organizations that are about meticulously studying and promoting the special foods of this country. Two of my favorites I'm a member of are first is Slow Food, which is an organization that was born in the 80s in the north of Italy to kind of combat the spread of commercialized products and supermarket food and fast food. So they kind of reward and protect products that are made historically the same way. Giving them funding and publicity. So old recipes, old products, maybe that would go by the wayside, are maintained and preserved. And the second one is my cheese organization called Organizzazione Nazionale Assaggiatori di Formaggi, so National Organization of Cheese Tasters. And it's equivalent to, I'd say, a sommelier. There's level one, level two. I am now a level two, which means I'm a master taster, mastro assaggiatore. And I have to, to maintain my license, judge 4 to 6 cheese competitions a year. So, you're part of the panel
That's all
that
in Italy,
take
correct? These
all in
things.
Italy. This is Italian based. Now, of course, for the licensing and all the studies, we study also European cheeses and everything else. But as far as working on the territory, we are mostly in Italy with some collaborations with our neighboring, cheese making countries. And I've been able to discover this wonderful world. And as Nicole always says, she's like, Dano's only friends in where we live are all the shepherds and all the dairy makers. Like, they're my buddies,
And my friends are all like the hoteliers and all the people involved in my destination weddings. Those are like our group of
So
friends.
yeah, if we need fresh ricotta, I just call the shepherd. I'm like, hey, do you have any? Yeah, I'll come by this morning. And he brings it to you made in the morning, and it's really nice to be able to find a place that. Because growing up in the States, cheeses for me were cheddar, American, and maybe some mediocre parm that you would find once in a while. And I remember as a kid, we would come to Italy, and my grandmother had a house up in the north on Lake Como. And I would go to like a little town on Tuesday, Lenno, and they had the market.
You still remember the
Oh
exact
my
day?
goodness. Every Tuesday. And the cheese guy would come down from the mountains, with this big truck there with all the cheeses. And I quickly learned as a kid that you could just ask, and you could point and ask in Italian, posso assaggiare, can I taste? And he'll give you a piece. So I would go cheese by cheese, try them all, and then having no liras to my name because I was a kid, I would just scamper off. And I had these memories of all these amazing cheeses I would have in Italy. So Italy to me became like the land of cheese that I couldn't find in the States.
Yeah. But it really goes like beyond his love of course, eating it. It's just, I mean, there's a whole world to cheese in Italy that people don't really know or comprehend. And sometimes I'll say like, oh yeah, my husband and I, like we do cheese, like cheese gastronomy, cheese tours. And they'll be like, really? Like there's that much cheese in Italy? Isn't there more in France? And no, there's more in Italy.
No, but I have to admit, when you sent me the email and you said, my husband's actually a cheese sommelier that really exists, I was laughing because I didn't know that existed. I never heard of that. I'm aware of, Italian cheeses and all that, but I never knew that existed. But typical Italy, God bless them. God bless them. I mean, I had this discussion not a week ago. Locally, where I'm at in this chamber of commerce, so there's a lot of American people. And this friend who came to America and lives by me, who's from Naples, Italy, and had a pizzeria there, opened a pizzeria here, and he is in a authentic, stamped by the approval of the people that do that from Italy, una pizzeria napoletana.
Grazie, yeah.
And I'm trying to explain that, and this American lady's going, "Oh, but Joe's got just as good pizza. He wouldn't like you saying that." And I go, "No, it's two different things." I would say it to Joe's face because Joe doesn't make Neapolitan pizza, but it's like I'm talking a foreign language. So I realize, and they don't get that balsamic vinegar has to come from Modena or cannot be called balsamic vinegar. I mean, there's so many things, and good for Italy to be so strict with that, because that's their bread and butter. These products are important, and you just can't be saying that, we have Parmigiano cheese if it's Parmesan from Wisconsin, So that's just.
Especially because the Kraft Parmesan they discovered, it was a big lawsuit recently, was 50% paper pulp. Because it was organic material, so it could be, fed to people. But thankfully, the Italian government enforcing the protection of the Parmigiano Reggiano kind of brand was able to get that off the shelves. Because Italy has 55 protected cheeses like that, which are called like the DOPs, that being one of them.
Okay, right. And everything with all that, wines and
Oh
so
yeah.
many things, and good for
Yeah,
them. And
prosciutto and
so how I translated all this into our work is that, so in the work that I do, we plan trips all over Italy. And I would say we definitely work in the luxury sector. So, five-star hotels, drivers, like all those nice things that people want when they travel in a luxury way. And I started to see how much people were paying for tours in gastronomy. So whether that was a walking tour of Florence or a wine tour in Montepulciano or a burrata
making
making in Puglia
for
or
pasta
whatever
shops.
it may be, I was like, wait a minute. We could do this. Like we could do this. Like Tano can do this. And I just was like, you're gonna do this. I threw him at a client who had a request. And instead of putting in the itinerary the tour that was, proposed by, the agency that I was working with or my partners, I stuck him in. And I get really kind words and testimonials. Tano gets like love letters from people. Like, I mean, they say that Tano has changed his life, that they'll never be able to eat the same way again, that they learn so much. And together, our philosophy has really been what is coined as slow travel these days, or off the beaten path travel. But we really want to bring attention to small producers, family-owned experiences that these agencies or tour operators in Italy do not have access to, because they're relationships that we build. So in Umbria, when you come on a cheese experience with us, it's not like a place that's pumping out 30 tours a day. It's his buddy. And you see his farm and his house, and you eat what his wife made for lunch today. And people really love it. And it brings us great joy. And we love this branch of the business that we have been developing.
Yeah, I mean it's really special because people you get so much more out of an experience. I think sitting at a table across from someone else, that's where you can kind of break more barriers than anything else and sit with the family or sit with the maker who produces either a very particular wine by himself or with his kid, or who is a dairy maker who makes his own cheeses or who ages cheeses, or who a pasta class with the little Italian granny who makes it in their house. And for me it's special because if not for my presence there and our kind of building these relationships, these clients would never be able to have these experiences, often because there's a language barrier. But I can translate on the spot immediately. So, like, it doesn't even feel like there's lost in translation moments because I can fully translate anything they need to ask.
And I would also say that we're obviously there to hold their hand with the translation, but you see that, like, the Italian nonna and the lady, they communicate. Like, somehow they're talking about life
They're
and
expressive
things,
with
and
their
they're
hands.
expressive, and especially for our Italian American clients. I mean, we have seen this so much, and I've done a lot of destination weddings with Italian American families. They really feel like this sense of home when they're here and when they can connect to these locals and dance and taste their wine and make their pasta and look at their like being able to access the inside of a family's home in Umbria, like that really means a lot to people when they come here. And I've seen people like cry and
Get emotional.
have these emotional experiences because they're like, oh, that's what my grandma used to tell me about, or my great grandmother used to tell me about this place, and now I'm finally here. And there's this like connection. And for Tano and I, that is so much more like grand of
Rewarding.
a like we go home and at night we're like, we really made a difference today in that person's life. And probably the lady making the pasta too, because she saw how, wonderful that was for the person who was experiencing that.
So are
Yeah.
these Italian Americans are that you deal with, are a lot of them, is this their first trip to Italy?
Not
But
necessarily.
sometimes yes, because they've worked their whole lives, they grew up maybe like in Staten Island or in Brooklyn, and they have this,
Oh, but we've had Italian Americans from all over the US. We've
yeah,
had them from Chicago and the New York area
even from
and
California, from
California.
Seattle.
Like, yeah.
But oftentimes, the distance builds, life gets in the way. You have kids, you have to save up for that, and it becomes like a thing you'll do later. But then once they come here, let's be honest, we're thinking of opening a fourth branch of the business, which is getting citizenship, because so many people are like, oh my God, I want to come back next year. I want the passport for my kids, for my grandkids, because,
Tano has become a realtor in many ways.
people want to buy
They want to buy
houses.
property immediately when they're
Because
here.
they just feel familiar. I mean, they just feel the familiarity, which I think they wouldn't feel if they were going to like Germany.
No
Just
doubt. And
so.
you're preaching to the choir here because there's two things. One thing I always say, every Italian American should visit Italy once in their life. Be it if it's a week. If it's a week, which is nothing, but if that's all you got of your entire life being, do it. Go to Rome and go where the family's from, just to see it. Even if you don't know anybody, it doesn't matter. You got to go, you have to do this. And then I am a big fan of, I'm very involved in the Italian American world, right? And I don't want us to lose all of our tremendous culture and our language and all that goes with it, but we are, being honest, we are. And the way to offset that is I'm a big fan of send, we should be organized, Italian America, to send younger people, 18 to 25 year olds, to Italy. Because that one trip will probably, not always, but probably really affect them ethnically speaking. And then the rest will take care of itself. I feel like once they're exposed to it, like you were saying, Gaetano, I mean, it's such a magical, beautiful place, and it's really going to affect them, and they're going to search out more. So we present it, and then they will take care of the rest.
Yeah. And I mean, Frank, a lot of my destination weddings, actually, if they're not Italian American, often it's like the bride studied abroad in Florence and felt this deep connection to, I also get the brides who just think it looks cute on Instagram and want to come get married in Italy, but I don't hate them. But whether it is as meaningful, but this year I actually did a Italian American wedding that was really beautiful and really special because both bride and groom had Italian American roots, and even the groom's mother chose to read a prayer in Italian during the ceremony. Like, it was just so, like, it tugged on everyone's heartstrings. Like, the celebrant was like, everyone here is a little bit Italian, in some way.
Are these weddings, these destination weddings, and especially when your clients are Italian American, are they happening more in the north part of Italy, in the south part of Italy?
Everywhere. Weddings are, I mean, I could go on and on about this, but it depends on what the aesthetic is and how many people and the budget, and there's so many factors. But the main areas that people are going to do destination weddings at right now is, Tuscany, Lake Como, Puglia, Sicily, but I've done a ton here in
Nice.
Umbria. We got married here in Orvieto. We got married in the Duomo of Orvieto, and we had all of our friends and family here. I've been pushing destinations like Piemonte or Lake Garda or the Dolomites. But I love off the beaten path. That's my thing. But I did one in Florence this year, and it was magnificent. It was really special. So it
I don't
just
think you can
depends,
fail getting married in Italy. I don't think there's a
you
bad place to get married. So I guess you're right. It just depends upon their preference or what
Yeah.
their neighbor told them or what they saw in a magazine or something like that.
There's so much to choose from. It's crazy. It's like there are so many villas and venues and castles and hotels. And I mean, I am very fortunate. I have the very hard job of being asked to go see so many beautiful places to consider them for my clients. I mean, this weekend we're going to Lake Como to see two places.
And I
It's
want
a
to do
hard.
a promotion for you because so a good friend of mine, his son got married in Puglia. Now he's from Italy, he's from Sicily. The bride's side, they're from Puglia. So I mean the family set it all up and everything, but the wedding is outstanding. The cost when it comes to, in Chicago, my upbringing, we had the Italian banquet hall. You had the 350 people, it especially as the years went by, it got very expensive. Well, the older I've gotten, are we really close with 350 people? Are we even close to 35 people? I mean, what are we doing these things for? So it's like going on a destination, you're eliminating that 350, obviously. It's a smaller group, which are more meaningful to you. And these weddings in Italy are just they're like unbelievable with the eat for 8 hours and the cheese station and this station and that station. And it's just amazing. So yeah, it's the time for destination weddings. So you should be getting
Well,
calls.
couples always come to me with, okay, this is our budget. And in New York or in Chicago or wherever they may be, we're being told that we can have this. And I tell them, in Italy, you'll probably spend maybe the same, but you're going to do like 3 or 4 days of events with that. You'll do a welcome pizza party and then the wedding day and then a boat ride with everybody or like,
A vineyard.
a vineyard experience or like there's so many things and so many formats of it that can happen. But I mean the couple who got married this summer, the Italian American ones, they came to me devastated with tears in their eyes in the beginning conversations because when they were shopping around for wedding venues in New York, it was insane to them what they were being asked to spend for just one day. And they ended up spending the same, if not maybe a little bit more, but they got 4 days on Lake Garda with all of their friends and families in a beautiful villa overlooking the lake. And we did a party on the lake and we did a welcome event in a vineyard. And, it's just, I mean,
And
this is what I do,
the food's
but.
always better. The wine is always flowing in better, So if people care at all about really giving like truly that feast feel, to your clients. And also, in a way, it's a way to make people go on a little vacation too. Because everyone often then tacks on a little trip before or after. And you kind of like nudge them a bit, but they always are very grateful. You're like, you know what? Thank you for getting me out of my routine and making me spend, 3 days at your wedding and then maybe a week traveling through Venice and Verona and,
With our travel agency, we often plan the pre and post for those people who do want to travel before or after. So like out of this wedding this past September, we had about like 12 travel itineraries. We also planned the honeymoon for the couple. They did the Dolomites and into Austria. So we really love our job. We really love what we do so much, and there's so many different creative outlets in this industry. I love the travel industry. I think it's so cool. And I love meeting the Italians who are really doing such a good job on a small scale and on a big scale. Like, and there's room for everyone in between. Like,
And
it's really beautiful.
as an aside, for Americans, Italian Americans, Italians love Americans.
Yeah.
Like, I look, I've lived in France. I've lived all over Europe. You Americans are really, really well received, well liked. Now, whether it's for because they spend money or because really it's like you like us, because Americans have a good idea of Italians, you know, and many other neighboring European countries don't. They see Italians kind of as like the blue collar immigrant waves that came over, kind of parasitic, kind of lazy, which I think is terrible, but Italians don't have this idea. Americans don't have this idea of Italians. So again, on top of that, Americans, whether they're Italian American or they're just Americans, are always really well received, I think, in Italy. They never feel that they're being, you know, judged or mistreated or kind of scoffed at. When other parts, people travel for other places for us, you do have to kind of warn the American clients about how they could be received or treated.
No, I agree with you. And I've always thought that, like, when Italian Americans, and it could be fourth generation, they go back, those people are kind of honored that, you know, John Smith, whose great great grandfather came from this little town in, you know, Campania region, and he took a trip, got on a plane to go there, even just to stand there and look around. I think they're honored. So like I said earlier, I always encourage them to go. Lastly, let's talk a little more personal, your personal lives. So, how long you been married?
A year and a couple months.
That's it. Oh, wow, you're newlywed.
Been together only.
We've been together almost 10 years. So, you know,
We
yeah.
had to plan a big wedding, so we waited.
Oh, okay. No, that's great. That's great. Just explain to me a little bit about the living in the two countries thing. Like, how, you know, just from, you know, your emotions to even like, do I leave certain clothes here, certain clothes there? You know, that whole thing. How was that?
I mean, I would say that it's just kind of what we've started doing over the past couple of years naturally because of the fact that we have ties in the US and then we started having this little home here. So it doesn't we have things in both places. And so there's I mean, I always bring suitcases because I shop a lot, but we spend a lot of time here now because of the seasonality of our work. Like next year, we have tours from April until already November, kind of already on the books. So we know we're going to have to spend a lot of time, but we're going for the month of January and February. We'll be in the US for a bit, between Miami and New York. So I don't know how to answer that,
No, it, I
really.
would say that, you know, for the season, like a lot of our clients travel in summer. The weddings are mostly in summer, so we're always fixed here. So we get to experience kind of the best part of Italy when everyone's when all the harvest's happening and everything's in bloom and the tomatoes are fresh, you know. And then whenever we can, we pop back to the States because we have to do lots of things for the business, the following up, the keeping up with all our partners and our connections, and also
Yeah.
having a base. Because as Nicole said, the longer we stay in Italy, the more we start missing parts of America. Just the efficiency, things being open all the time, how quickly you get things done, bureaucratic processes. You know, a lot of that, we start being like, oh my God, like I have to, you know, for example, this is kind of a joke, but we live in Orvieto, which is a very quaint little town here in Umbria, about an hour 15 from Rome. If we want to eat something that's not Italian once in a while, we can't. You
Well,
have
we
to,
go to Rome.
no, you just can't find it. You know, so not that I love having Italian food. I love the food. I love the variety of it. But once in a while, you might want something different. Guess what? Not going to happen.
We
So,
literally have to go to Rome.
yeah. So these are little things that you kind of feel when you're living between both. And then when you're in the States, after a couple of weeks in New York, you're like, I can't stand the street noise. I cannot stand the taxis beeping all the time, the smell of the air when we go outside, you know, just the here we have, you know, two plots. We have a 2 hectares of land. We have olive trees. You just breathe in the air. And it's just, we're very lucky to be able to enjoy the best of both worlds, I feel like. And it also kind of really makes us feel our identities both as, I always say, we feel both 100% Italian and 100% American. And people often have a hard time placing that if you're not on somewhere on that spectrum. Like,
Italians have a hard time with us sometimes.
yeah.
They don't really know, like, they're like, "Oh, I can hear your accent when you speak Italian," because they kind of have to feel that because they have to feel like, "Oh, like they're not really, really, really Italian like me."
Well,
But
yeah, I often
it
don't tell
depends.
Italians that I meet that I'm not, I say, oh, I was born in Milan, I live here, right? And maybe after a couple months of knowing them, I'll be like, actually, I grew up in the States, went to school in the States, lived there till I was 29 full time. And then they're shocked because unfortunately, they always want to be like, oh, I can tell. Sometimes they'll maybe devalue maybe your opinion on food things or on cultural things if they're like, you're not fully Italian, which to me is the one kind of downside you feel from the people. It's never like beyond just a little like they try to be like, oh, you have an accent, or how can you know this thing if you're not like fully Italian? But they maybe can't relate to how we feel about growing up in the States and having kind of both cultures. And you
Yeah.
can feel truly both of them, I think.
Yeah.
Right. No, they can't relate. So, and I mean, that's, and at the end of the day, I was just look at it like, like myself, I am me. I don't need
Well, you
assurance from anyone. You know what I mean? So, no, you guys are doing a great job. I could tell you're good people, sincere, and you are offering and bringing something very special to a lot of people, and more specifically, because that's our show, an Italian American group of people that they wouldn't be able to get. And believe me, it does mean a lot. You are affecting their lives. These are things that they've yearned to do probably for maybe half a century, and they got to do it, and they'll remember it for the second half a century that they're on this earth. So, that's
Yeah.
great.
And
Just
Frank, where's your family from in Italy?
well, so my mom's Sicilian. My dad is Abruzzese.
Oh, we love Abruzzo.
I love Abruzzo too. I was
Super underrated.
a year
Super
ago.
underrated.
Yes, I agree with you. It's not a known region as much. So much to offer. And you know how they say they're forte and gentile? They really are forte gentile. They're just
Yeah, they are.
beautiful.
Beautiful area. I really liked it there. I really, really liked it there. My dad's come from a little small town near Sulmona, the capital
Oh.
of the confetti.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we have them at our wedding.
Yep, from
Yes,
Sulmona.
really nice city, Sulmona. So,
Really nice city. The lake is beautiful there too.
yes, it really is. And my wife, I'm an Italian American. My wife was born in Italy. My wife's from Calabria, but she's from the Cosenza area.
Okay.
Really small town, una frazione, nemmeno un paese, una frazione in the mountain. And her dad, they still have the house. He built the house with his own hands because he was in construction. It was Nonno's land. And you want to talk about the epitome of peace and just, you open up that window and you're just looking at the mountain and the greenery and just, oh my God. And the older I get, I yearn for that. Believe me, I yearn for that. I'm not the big city life that I've had my whole life. It's not for me anymore. It's not you know what I mean? I really love that peace and quiet and just beauty. And there's a lot of positives to Italy. There really are. So you're selling it. It's a bit of an easy sell because it's just there. You just got it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, next time you're in Italy, please let us know. We would love to meet you. And I
Love that.
mean, for us Italian Americans, I would arguably say they're our favorite clients because the appreciation and deep-rooted, feels that they get in their gut and their core. I mean, other people will always marvel at Italy from wherever they come from in the entire world. But I think Italian Americans have like this deeper connection to being here. I mean, it's just something that
It's in them.
it's
Yeah.
in them. Yeah.
It's in
Yeah.
the
You
blood.
have
And
to be.
speaking of what you're saying, the very first trip I ever made, I will never, if I live to 200, forget the feeling. I was standing on a corner in Rome, and I will never forget it to the day I dropped dead. And to put it in perspective, because I'm much older than you guys, when I went at 19, the internet didn't exist. So my only recollection, of Italy was a movie, a magazine, that kind of thing. So when I say this was like a dream and I'm standing there, I mean, this really meant something. Nowadays, Google Map, we live everything, I get it. But that really was something. And then when I went to my mom's town, I went to my dad's town, I could never capture that first time feeling ever again. It was amazing. But I went many times and I didn't go for like 25 years because I had a business here in Chicago. And me and my wife went last year to Abruzzo. And I was wondering, like, oh, am I going to have that same feeling? You know, I don't know. Italy might have changed. I changed. No, it was there. I'm hoping that in the future, when we have more time, I would love for us to go and stay, you know, for months, not, you know, not a couple of weeks. So, my wife is an Italian citizen. I mean, she's never changed. She's born Italian citizen in Italy. She never got the American citizenship. She has the green card, permanent resident. I have to get the citizenship. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it and not procrastinating because I want it because I realize that I think the laws are going to be that if you have an American passport, you can't stay more than 3 months.
That's why it is. But you probably can do it pretty easily because it feels like your family immigrated pretty recently, and also your wife's Italian, so you also get it through marriage.
Yeah, through the
So
marriage,
whichever
I
one's
think.
faster, you do whichever one's faster.
So I did, we just got to do it. I got to do it. So yeah, I plan to do that, and we definitely plan to come to Italy. So
Well, we'd love to meet
would
you.
love to hook up with you guys for sure, for sure.
Yes,
I'll
absolutely.
take you to eat the rarest cheese in Abruzzo, which is made with
I
eggs.
love cheese, so that sounds awesome. Yeah, that would be
I'll
great.
take you there.
Thank you. That would be great. So, hey, thank you for the interview so much. Keep up the great work. Tell us where we find you, please.
Well, you can go to bonoeventsinternational.com or bonoeventsinternational on Instagram, and you'll find a way to contact us on there. We have all the forms that you get these days to fill out, and our email address is right there. So get in touch with us if you want to plan a trip to Italy or meet Tano for a gastronomic experience somewhere in Italy, or if you're getting married and you want to, plan the most amazing wedding in Italy. Yeah, we can help with all those
We're here.
things.
We're here for you.
Sounds great. Sounds great. So Bono International, Bono
Oh no, events
Events
international.
International.com. Bono Events International.com. Sounds great. Well, guys, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you and all the best in the future.
Our
Thank
pleasure. Thank you
you.
so much, Frank. Have
Thank
a
you so
great day.
much.